Hey, kids, we're a couple of annoyed grunt boys, and this is the 138th Simpsons Podcast. That's right, we're the podcast that explores the American animated sitcom The Simpsons from seasons 11 and beyond, and the newest ones when they're available. Why do we do it like that? Well, an entity known as the Wheel of Random has trapped us and forced us to watch the episodes in that manner. I say we because I'm one annoyed grunt boy named Steve, and with me, as always, is...
C-R-A-I-G. Craig.
Craig! Hey, Craig, how's it going?
We're going well, Steve.
Good, good. You know, Craig, in this wacky, kooky world that we live in, a lot of people say that, you know, The Simpsons foretell the future. I wonder, have there been any examples of that this week?
I saw in Paris, France, or is it Texas?
France,
okay. The Wayne Paris, as I like to call it.
Yeah, my third favorite Paris.
Yeah, Hilton, Texas,
yeah,
France.
Right.
And I saw that there's like a wax museum where they got Dwayne The Rock Johnson. They made a little wax figure of him. And so people on the internet were a little upset because Dwayne Johnson's skin was a little lighter than his normal skin tone. And I feel like we've seen some blunders from wax museums. For instance, when Lisa was the beauty queen, Little Miss Springfield, she had a wax figure, but her body was not Lisa's body. It was, in fact, her head was on top of a Dr. Ruth's body.
So maybe that's what they did again in France. They just used good old Dr. Ruth's body and threw it on Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dr. Ruth is known for being very muscular, right?
Yeah, yeah. And she was always like, can you smell what Dr. Ruth is cooking?
In her accent, Steve.
Look, can you smell what Dr. Ruth is cooking?
Do people know who Dr. Ruth is? Is she still alive, by the way?
I don't think there's any way possible that she is.
Dr. Ruth is still with us, Steve. She's 95 years old.
Huh. Wow. That's great for you, Dr. Ruth. I hope you're still fucking. You know, Craig, I think we should, pour a drink out for the beloved Suzanne Summers, who we recently lost, but also drink to those who are living, such as Dr. Ruth, in our favorite segment, The Simpsons Beer Corner.
Now a little beer music to get in the mood.
Alrighty, Craig, what have you got for us this week?
So in this episode, we see Nelson, spoilers, trying to nurse back a hummingbird. And, you want to give a hummingbird a lot of sugar water, right? Sugar comes in all shapes and forms, Steve. In fruits, right? Such as a nectarine, right? A hummingbird would love a nectarine.
Yeah.
Steve looks very confused where I'm trying to go with this. So that's why I went with Unakite Fresh Hop. It's a nectarine, a saison.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, you think hummingbird's nectar, you know, nectarine.
Mm-hmm.
We're going with the fruity saison here from Upright Brewing Company out of Portland, Oregon here. Steve, mm-hmm. You got pouring at a nice cloudy amber color. Smells very fruity. A little fruity bouquet here.
Get a sip here.
Well, I'll say that I'm not a big fan of sours, but this kind of has like a sour reminiscence. I get the nectarine. Might not be the beer for me.
Yeah.
I think because it kind of leans towards a little bit of the sourness.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe this beer would be better in the summertime. I'm probably not having it at the right time of the year. I could see how this be like a nice refreshing not on a summer day, but not in this little chilly fall weather for me. It's okay. It'll take me a while to finish this down. I don't think I would go for a second. I like saisons sometimes, but I might have to, again, not for me. Might be for you or others.
Yeah.
But not for me. How about you, Steve? What do you got?
Oh, well, Craig, last week, you know, when we were talking about this episode, we mentioned that there are some guest stars. We have Rosalie Chang playing Hubert Wong. And then we also have Dick Van Dyke playing himself. And I was like, okay, I love Dick Van Dyke. He made one of the best sitcoms of all time. But he's also kind of infamously known for his maybe less than accurate British accent. And I figured since he would certainly be heavily featured in this episode, I should get a beer that's dedicated to him. So, of course, I went with a British beer to celebrate his British accent. From England, I have Samuel Smith's Old Brewery Tadcaster Oatmeal Stout.
Ooh.
The the bottle is not very kid friendly. It's very much an old school kind of looking beer.
Mm.
It's kind of like a yellow background with the logo. It comes in at a easy drinking 5% alcohol. So the copy reads, an opaque, wonderfully silky and smooth textured ale with a complex medium dry palate and bittersweet finish. Brewed with well water, the original well sunk in 1758, is still in use. Malted barley, roasted barley, oatmeal, yeast, and hops. Fermented in stone Yorkshire squares. The celebrated oatmeal stout is a style benchmark revered by Samuel Smith and has inspired hundreds of other commercial oatmeal stouts.
I'll trade you real quick. You can have mine. I'll have yours.
I mean, that does sound good. Yours does sound good. But I got to say, this one is very nice. Really light body for a stout. A little bit of bitterness, kind of like a good baking chocolate. You get a little bit of like that kind of European beer funk, even though it's a stout. Like it tastes, I don't want to say dirty, but it tastes a little wild.
I know what you're getting at.
Yeah, you get it. But just really easy drinking, good carbonation, just like a really great example of what a stout could be. Like they're not trying, like, you know, so many times I'll bring in beers that are like, oh, this one's aged in a whiskey barrel. This one has marshmallows into it. A porn star peed in this one, whatever. But this one, oh, nothing. I didn't do that. That's for my other podcast or PCast, if you will. but this is just a classic stout. You know, you can taste the barley and the oats. It's kind of chewy. Just a really good classic beer. And yes, Wookiees all over will enjoy it. So Samuel Smith, you don't sing a good song, but you drink, make a good beer.
All right. Well, I'll trade you beers later.
Okay. But before we do that, let's go back in time, all the way back to October 22nd, 2023. Craig, what was the number one movie in the box office?
Well, you think I've seen it, but I haven't, Steve. It's still the Taylor Swift Eras Tour, number one in the film box office.
Oh, boy.
Again, I was going to go to the cinema this weekend, but I was a little too busy.
Hmm.
But I wasn't going to see that. I was going to see Killers of the Moon Pennies, the latest Scorsese. What's it called? Flowers of the Algeron? Killer Moon?
Killers of the Flower Moon? Flowers of the Killer Moon?
Yeah. And then
from Outer Moon?
You know, I like a Scorsese because I'm a white male in his 40s. But then I saw like the runtime was like 3.5 hours. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. 206 minutes. That's
like, I can't take an edible or drink alcohol because, you know, then I have to like get up and pee because I'm going to be drinking a lot of beverages regardless of what is in my system.
Right. Yeah. I don't even know what the movie's about. I assume Leonardo DiCaprio's in it.
Caprio and De Niro.
Sure.
Are, like everyone else. Mr. Kirsten Dunst is in it.
Oh, yeah.
And the rest. And apparently Heather, my significant other, she has a friend that's also in that movie too that she knows.
Wow.
So there's a lot of people in it. But again, it's Scorsese. I got to see it eventually, but probably no intermission either, right?
Probably not.
But Taylor Swift is like 2.5 hours. But, you know, I don't need to go to that because I don't need. Oh, it's been out for what, 2 or 3 weeks now, the Taylor Swift Eras Tour?
Yeah.
I could probably go now since there's not going to be kids running around being loud. I need to see the drama of the Taylor Swift
movie. Of course, yeah.
I need to find the A story, the B story. You know, I need to find the protagonist and the antagonist. I'm assuming you haven't seen it yet, right?
I have not.
Okay.
I'm waiting for IMAX.
I'll wait till it's on the red box so I can go to my local 7-Eleven and rent it on DVD.
As it was meant to be seen.
Steve, well, we weren't erasing it up in the cinema. We surely were on our smartphones listening to the number one song. Steve, what was it?
Well, Craig, the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 was First Person Shooter by Jimmy himself. Speaking of shooters, Drake featuring J. Cole.
First person shooter mode, we turning your song to a funeral. To the to say they don't office, you better be talking about working in cubicles. Yeah, them boys had a lot, but I knew the code. A lot of debate in my numero. Not the 3, not the 2, I'm the UNO. Yeah. Numero UNO, me and Drizzy, the like the Super Bowl. Man, then it big as the... Big as the Super Bowl.
All right, see, so we have to stop it there because of the offensive language Drake is using.
No, not
the N-word. That was bleeped out. But he said the proper name for the big game. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
You can't say the big game for NFL on anything. Or
get in trouble.
Speaking of Taylor Swift, you know, she's the CEO of the NFL now, I think.
That's right, yeah.
We only watch football games for Taylor Swift.
Of course, that's all the reporters talk about, it's that.
I feel like Taylor Swift should have had the number one song, but maybe next week it'll be different, Steve.
Maybe.
I like a first-person shooter, though, you know, it's fun times.
Yeah, I'm more of a third-person guy.
Have you been playing Starfield, Steve, where you could be third or first person?
I have not because, first of all, it just seems like such a grand game. I don't know if I can get into it, but also I've got some web slinging to do.
All right, Steve. Is this an episode of Steve slinging webs?
I think so.
Craig's shooter. Steve slinging webs on Aunt May's chest.
Wait, is it Marissa Tomei?
It's Sally Field.
Even better. I like her. Like her.
Okay. Aunt May has like increasingly gotten like younger and hotter.
Yeah. And throughout the history of the comic, she's just been a very old woman.
Yeah. So like after they reboot in the next Spider-Man with a new person, it'll be like Anya Taylor-Joy will be the next.
Yeah.
The next Aunt May, who will be like 26.
Yeah. Zendaya will be rebooted in the series. Yeah. Yeah.
She's too old now to be MJ. How do we get from, speaking of young girls, Drake. There we go. Drake. Yeah. All right. It's fun to hear what the new songs are. Do you think next week it'll still be Taylor Swift, the movie box office?
Honestly, I think so. I don't know that Killer of the Flower Moon is going to... I mean, I feel like it'll be popular, but I don't think it'll take over Taylor.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually movies, they don't release like really new movies around Halloween, right? I think the next big movies could be The Marvels, which isn't until second week of November.
Yeah.
All right. Drake, there you go. We reviewed it.
Alrighty. Yeah, it was a review. And speaking of reviews, let's get into our review of this week's episode entitled McMention and Wife, in which when a new neighbor showers him with kindness, Homer thinks he's being tricked into buying a sports car at the dealership where the neighbor works. But the truth turns out to be much more sinister. Meanwhile, Lisa neutralizes Nelson after he goes on a bullying spree.
Sounds scary.
Alrighty, Craig, let's say we watch it, and we'll be right back. And when he rocked me home at night, all the stars were shining bright, and then he kissed me. And we're back. Today we're talking about McMention and Wife, the third episode of the 35th season. It originally aired on October 22nd, 2023. It is episode 753 in the show's run. Your nerd code is OABF20. It was written by Dan Weber, directed by Debbie Mahan, and your showrunner is Al Jean.
You know, we're at 247 episodes of this podcast, and I feel like Dan Weber has been one of those writers that we've talked a lot about. And, you know, we've only done like 7 episodes, but I feel like it's been more than that.
Yeah.
Here's the crazy part is I'll let you know that this is his 10th episode he's written for The Simpsons.
There's only 3 that we haven't reviewed. It's wild because I feel like his name comes up all the time. But even as I'm looking at these episodes, like aside from some from last season and season 33, I don't recognize a ton of them.
Well, we have Lisa the Veterinarian, which was season 27, episode 15.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like 123rd episode or 1, 2, 3 episode. I'm assuming she becomes a veterinarian.
Yeah, there was a raccoon, I believe.
Oh, so the raccoon one. Okay, yeah. Frink gets testy. That's when he gets a testicle implants.
I do believe, yeah.
Glavin. Thanksgiving Horror. Come on.
That's a great episode.
Season 31, episode 8, it's up there with the Treehouse of Horror episodes. But in general, just an amazing episode. I love it. The Last Bar Fighter from season 32, episode 22. I remember Boys in the Highlands being a very fun episode from last season. Two seasons ago, season 3. And then Step Brother from the Same Planet, season 34, our 199th episode. Wow.
Yeah.
That was the one with the rap artist man, right? Was it the Weeknd?
I think so. So summary is Homer is stunned by his feelings of rage and resentment when Grandpa becomes a doting stepfather to his girlfriend's quirky son. It was the one where there was a weird guest star in it. Not a weird guest star, but like there was a guest star.
Off the top of my head, I think it was Carol King.
Yeah, there it is. She's kind of weird.
She's so weird. All right, what was the one I'm thinking of that had like The Weeknd? Wasn't it like Did he play two parts, like his son and like an artist?
Yeah, that was the one with like the fancy footwear, right, or like the fashion thing that Bart. Probably very close to that episode
chronologically,
but it was the weekend, right? I'm not. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Bart the Cool Kid. There we go. Yeah,
yeah. There it is.
Ryan Hughes and Darius Hughes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Same seasons, right? 33.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, back to Dan Weber. You know, we haven't done his first job, which was the book job from season 23, 101 Mitigations. He wrote that with Rob Lazevnik and Brian Kelly.
Mm.
And Bart the Bad Guy. That's season 32, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we bring up Bart the Bad Guy and never talk about it. I'm so curious what that one's about. That's like, let me see here. Bart the Bad Guy accidentally sees a new superhero movie a month before it comes out. Okay, so yeah, that's like the Avengers type parody.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that one now. So he like, what, he, I'm assuming he like torrented a movie?
Probably.
Who would do such a thing? That's you know, hey, you wouldn't download a car, would you?
That's right. I mean, but now with 3D printers, can't you download a car?
Yeah, I mean, now you can start building your own 3D printed houses, cars, girlfriends, babies, girlfriend babies.
Baby girlfriends.
Muppet babies.
Muppet baby cars.
Ooh, like the ones that came in the Happy Meal in like...
Exactly.
1989.
Those were awesome.
I had a Gonzo.
I had a Kermit. And I had a Fozzie. I wish I had.
You know, I don't think the Happy Meals existed during the run of Happy Days, the TV show, but there should have been a Happy Days Happy Meal.
Oh, yeah. These Happy Days are yours and mine. These Happy Meals are yours and mine. It sells to sells.
Would have been great. I think, if I know my nerd cred off the top of my head, I think Star Trek The Motion Picture, which came out in 79, was the first movie to tie into a Happy Meal.
That makes sense. Yeah, that sounds about the right time. Yeah.
But Happy Days lasted until 1994, right?
Yeah, it was on TGIF for a little while.
It lasted until 84. So, they could have definitely had Happy Meals, Happy Days meals.
Yeah, I mean, you could obviously have the Richie and your Fonzie, and like people would get disappointed if you got like a Potsy. Like, oh, yeah, I got a Ralph Mel.
We're talking about another TV show. We should really talk about The Simpsons. Like, if Simpsons had a Happy Meal toys.
Oh, yeah. But of course, they were a Burger King family.
Right. Did they? They never did any like for the Burger King Kids Club. Did they?
They had stuffed like little small toys.
Okay, was this for the movie?
I think they did do some stuff for the movie, but they also did some stuff when the show was like at its prime. I believe they may have had a run of small posable action figures, or maybe stuffed animals or stuffed Simpsons figures. And I also want to say there were Simpson watches.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm on the Simpsons fandom wiki, and just type in Burger King. In 1990, there was dolls. This is what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah.
So they were $3.49 each. So you probably, did you have to buy them? But then you probably had to also buy food.
Right. It's probably $3.49 with the purchase of a meal.
Are these the things that you usually see in like antique malls, like when they have like the Bart and...
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are probably what those are from. Okay. Look, in 2001, Burger King released 15 Halloween figurines with big kids meals. So it did. I think it's because, you know, Burger King is the Pepsi of soda, right? You know, Coke is king. McDonald's is king. And so it's like, well, you know, the Happy Meal was the far superior. It was the, you know, the Oreo to the Hydrox, even though we know Hydrox was before Oreo. But,
of course. Yeah.
But, you know, you're just like, ah, come on, Burger King. Your toys were never as good as McDonald's. And no one's could beat McDonald's.
No. And like, I know that people have fondness for the Kids Club and its various, you know, diversified members like that.
Hey, you're right. It was one of the most diversified, like, group of kids on TV.
Yeah.
Next to the Planet, Captain Planet Kids.
Sure, but it does kind of pale in comparison to, like, the whole world of McDonald Land from your, of course, the titular Ronald McDonald, but you had your Fry Guys, your Birdie, right, your Grimace, your Mayor McCheese, your Constable McCheese.
A lot cooler mascots.
Yeah.
Why would I hang out with a bunch of cartoon kids at Burger King?
Mm-hmm.
I want to hang out with
a clown, a ferret, and a taste bud.
Yeah. Who knows what adventures we can have with them? There was a, in 2000, yeah, so back to the Burger King stuff in 2007 for the movie, there was figures. You had, wow, 16 figures.
Wow.
I'm surprised we didn't go out to Burger King to get these. Why?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
because I do remember very specifically playing on the Simpsons movie website. They had a small web game that you could play where you were basically Homer on a motorcycle in a metal ball. And I remember before the movie came out, I'd play that, like, on the regular.
I remember you could Simpsonize yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for the movie products, I just kind of remember buying the cereal.
Oh, yeah.
Which was just like Homer cinnamon donuts.
Yeah.
It was just Cheerios, but with cinnamon on it.
I also remember like the big cross promotion with the 7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah. And they'd turn some of them into Quickie Marts.
Yeah. And they'd sell like Homer sprinkle donuts and such.
Yeah. Look, in 2008, there was a promotion for couch figures, which had a button on the back and made the characters do something. 2011, Burger King had more Treehouse of Horror themed. Wow, we're just missing out on everything. 2013, there was a superhero-based toys for the kids' meal for like Bardas Cupcake Kid, Milhouse's Fall Out Boy, Lisa Clobber Girl.
Mm-hmm.
2015, they said they would release Simpsons items to kids' meals, but they were like, did they not do that?
No.
But, all right. Well, I take everything I say back. Well, how did we get from Dan Weber to Burger King's Kids Club meals, by the way?
That is an excellent question.
Well, I mean, his episode is McMansion, McDonald's.
Hey, there you go.
All right. Steve, there's title screens. It's got Agnes Lamagot Skinner flying across as she's playing like a pterodactyl.
Yeah, well, we've seen that before, I believe.
Yeah.
We have this couch gag, which I don't believe we've ever seen, because while at work, Homer gets text messages from Marge telling him that dinner's at 7, snuggling will commence at 8, and that there will be pizza at 8:05.
Whoa, stop there a second.
Yeah.
Homer can last that long? That's amazing.
I know, he's a stud. He earned that pizza. He puts on his Lamborghini jacket and then leaves the power plant. And while he's in the parking lot, he presses his key fob and his Lamborghini drives to him, hitting Lenny along the way. Lenny comments that it's a nice car and then is hit in the air and then is hit by a helicopter. And then Lenny comments, what are the odds? Homer gets into his car and presses the make me look cool button, which changes the car's appearance, making it red and giving the interior a nice neon glow. And it changes Homer's appearance as well, giving him long flowing locks of hair, at least when he looks in the rearview mirror. Some other options on the Lamborghini console are...
Call Marge.
Ignore Grandpa.
Donut.
Pretzel.
Emergency churro. Should there have been, like, churro, then emergency churro?
Oh, I like that, yeah. You got a backup.
Hey, so as Homer drives off, the exhaust from the car has the male gender symbol. And you know how I always remember like the male gender symbol versus the female gender symbol?
Is it the same way that I do?
Yeah, because if it goes up, it's like a boner, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And if it looks like a cross going down, it's the holy vagina. Cross, you know?
Yeah. The female symbol always looks like a woman because it has little arms and women have arms, usually.
And a big head.
Nah.
With each speeding mile, the car's insurance raises. I thought that was a funny scene. Homer then drives along the mountain roads and presses the goat milker button. We didn't see that before. To get milk from nearby goats. It's just like, do you think in the writing room it was like, you know, like a beer button, but then like, we shouldn't show Homer drinking beer.
Right.
Driving. But like, I just want some fresh goat milk.
Yum, yum.
Hey, I don't drink animal milk, Steve. Not my mother's milk. I will only drink my mother's milk.
That's getting grosser and grosser by the day.
Yeah. So then he's running out of fuel, and then he presses a button to get more fuel, and then the fuel jet flies by and gives him some more fuel. It's funny, too, because then the airplane just flies off and does, like, spins.
There's
no reason. Like, why would a plane? Okay. And then, in a fun scene, but also very disappointing to
yes,
is we get Dick Van Dyke flying in his Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car, which, of course, the 13-year-olds that are watching this will get that reference.
Also, it just sounded like Chester Lampwick.
Yeah, it did. And I was very disappointed because I was hoping he'd be like a character in the show, but it's still kind of fun that he just did a quick little one-off.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe in the episode, it'll give it a little bit more okay from me.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll continue here because Homer then makes it home to the garage, but doesn't open it properly. So then Homer just forces it open enough, like just like 3 feet. That way the Lamborghini can go right through. And it says it's like full. And he has to like, you know, maneuver all these boxes through these boxes. And he just gets to the couch finally. And Marge tells Homer that there's no food left and that Santa's little helper got sprayed by a skunk. We've had a lot of skunk issues in our neighborhood. We have.
Really?
We have a skunk. Have I not mentioned that I finally seen skunks now?
I don't think so, because I mean,
see them often now, and I smell them often. Because one of my, you know, a lot of times at the evening, if it gets too hot in the house, I like to open a window at night because the couch is right by a window, so I get nice cold fresh air coming into the night. But then that's when like skunks come by and must be startled because then it starts smelling.
Yeah,
That and Cheech and Chong just moved next door, so I don't know. Maybe it's not.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to get Tommy Chong arrested. Back to jail for him.
About time.
Anyway, so Homer then wakes up at work and complains about his stupid imagination. So what I think is kind of interesting is this the couch gag? Or is it actually just the cold open to the episode?
It
is.
It's interesting. So our episode begins, or continues, as it always does, with Homer complaining about meeting the new neighbors. As he holds up a tiny preseason banner, and that's a fun throwback to, you know, old banner Homer.
Oh, yeah.
Homer informs Marge that it is, in fact, the NFL preseason, and that the starters will be playing the whole first quarter. Marge retorts that they have to meet the new neighbors before they hear about the Simpsons from the old neighbors, and Homer makes the case that he's made positive acquaintances in his community.
Hey, I have friends in this neighborhood. There's a guy whose lawn I use as a shortcut, the guy whose mailbox crashed into our car, and Mrs. Bad Halloween Candy.
If my candy is so bad, why you take so much of it?
Look, the people who know us are a lost cause, but these new people don't know us, so it is really important to me to make a good impression.
Oh, don't worry, Mom. My butt is clean and ready to be seen.
Anne Blackburn, charmed.
No. You're not upset?
No, I'm Thayer. So happy to leave the city and be around real people. Yar!
Yes!
I'm Marge and this is Homer. It's been so long since I made a basket for people moving in.
Love this town. Can't believe it has 3 Lard Lad locations.
One of those is police only, so back off, pal.
Oh, you know what I forgot to mention in the beginning of the couch gag? I'm pretty sure, like, when the couch gag was pitched and Homer driving the Lamborghini was like, everything looks good, and they show it to Daddy Matt. He's like, I don't know. I think he needs to jump over the Springfield Gorge one more time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, fine, because, you know, that's based off of, like, audio commentaries and interviews. And that's one of Matt Groening's favorite episodes, Bart the Daredevil.
It's a great episode. It'd be fun if there was an ambulance down there.
Yeah. But yeah, back to the clip. We meet the new neighbors. They're very good looking couple, huh?
Mm-hmm.
A little too good looking, Steve.
One way thing.
Normal. Yeah, yeah.
Also, what do you think of Bart just, you know, showing ring on, like, usually the ring faces the other way of the door.
They have the Bart ring bell.
Yeah.
Ding-a-ling.
So... Homer asks Thayer what he does for a living, fearing that'll make Homer look like nothing in comparison. Thayer works in a sports car dealership in North Springfield and invites Homer to stop by. As Homer looks at Thayer's business card, he sees that he sells Lamborghinis, the very car that Homer had a fantasy slash couch gag about, while also fantasizing about the aforementioned Dick Van Dyke.
Has Dick Van Dyke ever had a Van Dyke?
Ooh, I don't think so. I love a Van Dyke.
Thayer offers to set up his new friend with a fresh set of wheels. Marge warns that those cars are very expensive and they're still paying off their new spatula. Do you think they went to Spatula City to get that spatula?
Spatula City, probably, yeah.
Well, there are reasons that most people don't buy, and he doesn't mind. So Homer can stop by, check it out, and, you know, chug a free smart water in the front seat, courtesy of the dealership, of course. Well, Homer then requests a test drive in front of everyone he went to high school with, and Thayer agrees, complimenting Homer's firm handshake. And Homer credits choking Bart. And then he says he's kidding. He doesn't do that anymore since, you know, times have changed.
Of course.
It's a very fun self-referential episode.
Mm-hmm.
Or comment.
So Thayer invites Homer to play pickleball, which he assumes is like tennis, but you don't have to run. Thayer says that there is a little movement involved. So Homer declines until Thayer mentions that there's a great ice cream place nearby. Homer is in and Thayer offers to drive his Lamborghini, which is great since Homer's car is falling apart. While they're out, Anne suggests a massage with Marge. Marge agrees, but admits that her fingers aren't very strong. Mrs. Blackburn explains that they'll both get massages while chatting through face holes. Homer then tries to warn the neighbors about Ned Flanders, just as he stops by to deliver some fresh Bibles. Thayer wonders who that stupid guy is, creating a further bond with Homer.
I really love that scene with Marge, and just the idea that he was like, how about massages? She's like, all right, well, I'm not that strong. Like, in her world... Anytime someone says, how about massages, it's probably Homer, and she has to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's ever, like, reciprocated, has he?
Probably not.
I mean, we might have seen him, like, rub her shoulders once or twice, but then he just wants to snuggle, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. And I feel like if you don't reciprocate with massages, you probably don't reciprocate in other things either. Oh, like going downstairs, Steve.
Yeah.
To check the circuit breaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. When the power goes out, you got to check to see if it was the power outage or just the circuit broke. That's all.
Yeah. You got to flip that switch or see if it needs a new fuse.
You know, most guys really don't know where that switch is.
That's true.
Fuse box.
It's not that hard to find.
Yeah. I'd say 100% of women know where that switch is in the fuse box.
Mm-hmm.
So ask your woman.
Because it's next to the washing machine, Craig.
And dryer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this whole intro was great. I just loved the setup here of like, oh, these people are perfect, you know? They look perfect. They got like a perfect house. Although, did their next-door neighbors have a two-story house? And that was Ruth Powers, right? She
yeah.
She next door. She's been gone from that house for a while because they've had different neighbors from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when I reread the description, I thought it might have been like across the street.
Right. You know, but no, it's like...
famous, yeah.
Either 742 or 746. No, wait. 740 or 744 Evergreen Terrace.
Right. And just let out, you know, Thayer's like, Flanders, he sucks.
Yeah.
This is going to be the great. I don't know, Steve, is there going to be some foul play later on this episode?
Perhaps.
Well, let's go to Springfield Elementary where we're going to do our B story. It's an anti-bullying video showing in the auditorium. So two children in the film assure that students that if you're being bullied, that it will get better. And then in a weird coincidence, we had a Jeff Bezos cameo last week's in the season 20 episode, right? Episode 8, The Birds and the Bees.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Jeff Bezos now with the more buff and with his new wife or girlfriend. I forget her name. And of course, with the bald head.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, when you're older, you can just get rich and then wedgie your ego. And he flies off on his own rocket ship. And then the stars form a very important, very true message that it will get better, although you will go bald.
Very true.
Yeah, Steve, I cut my glorious long hair to, you know, more manageable short hair. But I am very much losing the top part or the front part. We might have to be the same as baldies.
I mean, it's a good way to go.
It'll just look weird if we're two white guys with shaved heads doing a podcast.
Yeah. The problem with bald guys is they shouldn't meet in groups.
I'm thinking like maybe we should start like working out our upper bodies too, just get a little bit ripped.
Mm-hmm.
Start taking some protein shakes. And...
yeah. Also, I'm tired of wearing belts. I'm thinking we're switching to suspenders.
You know, I'm not too hot on science these days. Let's just continue, Steve. So Nelson's watching the movie and he states that nobody tries to bully him into not bullying. He then punches what appears to be the palm of his own hand, but then the camera zooms out to reveal it is actually the hand of Database, who is just, you know, going for the high five.
So as the students leave the Beyond Bullying assembly, Nelson walks with the professor offering the presentation. He tells the scholar that he's learned a very important lesson. Adults can be nerds, too. He then gives the professor a wedgie. The professor threatens to tell, but Superintendent Chalmers has already been wedgied as well. Milhouse tries to compliment Nelson, but that also ends in a wedgie. Bart thinks that he has the tools to combat bullying, offering empathy to Nelson's struggles, and Nelson admits that he is struggling with Bart's lack of fountain rides. And for those of you who don't know, a fountain ride is when you pull somebody's underpants around the water fountain in a wedgie form, much like Bart was done to by Nelson. And Nelson chants, "You wet your pants," and the students all join in saying that Bart wet his pants.
Is that a real thing, or is this just made up on The Simpsons?
I hope it's a Simpsons thing, because that seems painful.
I mean, you got to think that you could probably only do that with... like kindergarten to maybe second graders?
Probably.
It might just, you know, you do that, it's just going to rip the, I don't know, how much do second graders weigh, Steve?
Let me check.
Okay.
About 45 pounds.
I guess 45 pounds of pressure of that water fountain that's just being held up by some caulk. I don't know. Hey, kids out there, try bullying kids and see if this works at school, okay?
Yeah. If you take nothing else from this episode, bully kids.
You bully kids, and, you know, 20 years later, they'll have a stupid podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then Nelson instructs Milhouse to keep the water flowing and the other kids to post videos. Not vertical, but landscape or else. Hey, I'm with you on this one, Nelson. Like, I know, like, we're stuck with, like, a TikTok and Instagram society where everyone films everything vertical. But, you know, as someone who appreciates film and the aspect ratios and things like that, I prefer the landscaping method.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, the professor admits that his assemblies have been less effective, but then Lisa has a plan.
He's worse than ever.
My presentations have made bullies worse in every school. We hope this time will be different.
boy. Now what? It was Nelson. He's really out of control.
Attention, students. Be warned. Ow! My stamp collecting arm.
I think I might know a way to help you.
How are you gonna help me with a bully?
Yeah, Lisa. You can't even squish a bug. That poor bug.
It was a raisin.
That poor raisin. I never should have left Fresno.
Is Fresno known for its raisin growth?
I'm just assuming because of, you know, wine country.
I mean, I do know that there are California raisins. And, you know, they heard it through the grapevine. I just didn't know specifically Fresno.
I know it's a different show and different cartoon, but the raisin reminded me of Star Trek Lower Decks. I probably brought the show before, but, like, there's, like, a season opener. It might have been, like, last season, season three or two, where the character Boimler, in a parody, like, you know, because Captain Picard, his family has, like, a vineyard in France, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Boimler, like, he's on, like, I think shore leave or whatever, and they go to his vineyard, but it's actually his family is known for making raisins and not wine.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Poor raisins.
Poor raisins. So across the street from the pickleball carts, Homer and Thayer have some ice cream at PQW's, formerly known as Phineas Q Butterfat's Ice Cream Parlor. I like that they kept up with them being like a hip and trendy place rather than like an old-timey place. So Thayer enjoys a single scoop while Homer goes for a triple while trying to catch his breath. Though Thayer may not have noticed, this was Homer's first time playing pickleball. But actually, Thayer had his suspicions when Homer tried to eat the pickleball, but Homer says that, you know, nothing should be named food that isn't food.
All right, let's think of this, Steve.
A blackberry. They're not as popular as now as they were, but it sucks. I thought I was getting a delicious treat and I just got a mouthful of keyboard.
An Apple phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just got the new Apple phone and I bit into it thinking it was an actual Apple, but it's made of titanium now.
Oh my gosh.
An LP of the band Bread. Bit into the record. I'm like, this doesn't taste like bread at all. But let me listen to the music. Oh, it sucks too.
Oh no. I was invited to eat butt and I was excited to eat a nice, delicious, like roasted pork butt. But it turns out I was just eating somebody's anus.
You went to one of those millennial parties?
Exactly.
Can we talk about Homer's scoop placement on the ice cream? You got Neapolitan. It looks like it's chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. Is strawberry the ideal one to put on the bottom?
No, that's not what. That's not how you want to close.
I think you start with the strawberry, right? Like, because you feel like, I'm getting the healthy stuff out of the way.
Right. Me personally, I agree with you completely, and I would go strawberry top, chocolate in the middle, and close with vanilla.
But that's, is this theory?
I like vanilla the best.
Is vanilla a flavor, Steve?
Oh, come on. Vanilla is a flavor.
Well, I was thinking, is it because if you start with, like you said, the strawberry chocolate to vanilla, that way some of the chocolate and strawberry can seep into that vanilla.
Sure.
Another little extra oomph. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good too. Yeah.
And then it looks like Thayer's just got probably, it's green, but I'm going to assume it's probably a mint chocolate chip.
Probably, yeah.
To animate the chocolate. And also, three scoops is way too much. Mm. This was probably like a year or two ago. I remember going to a Cold Stone Creamery. Which I haven't been to one in years. And I was like, I want some like ice cream. And I was like, oh, I'll just get three scoops. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
I probably had like three bites and I'm like, I'm done with this. I cannot eat the rest of this. It wasn't gross or anything. It's just like,
right. It's just a lot of ice cream.
Way too much ice cream.
I'll frequent Salted Straw, which is a local gourmet ice creamery in Portland, but also I think there are locations in LA and maybe other places. And they're kind enough to do half scoops. So you can get the equivalent of one scoop, but you get two flavors, which is nice.
That's probably the way to go as an adult who can't eat all that dairy.
Right.
Although, but then I could just take like a pint of like Ben and Jerry's or the
tortillas
and just go to town and eat that whole pint. I don't
know. Like, you ever just like look at the lid and laugh like, your job is done.
But the point of like the Talentia is like you get to be
Tupperware.
Yeah. And I like it because it's a screw off tab. It's not like Tupperware where you have to like burp it on, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's like screw it on. So, you know, I put it like leftover soups or whatever in there. It's perfect.
I like it. Yeah.
I have like probably like 8 Talentia things in my cupboard right now because like 10 of them are being used for something else.
Sure.
Just imagine like you're a kid. And you, like, open the fridge and you see, like, oh, sweet, Talentia ice cream. I don't know why it's in the fridge, though. But then you open it and you, like, take a bite and it's, oh, it's bacon grease.
Aw. Mm-hmm.
I don't
give it a try.
I put, because it's plastic, put the bacon grease in a mason jar.
That's good.
In a Jackie Mason jar.
Dumb.
Wasn't Jackie Mason ever, like, a spokesman for mason jars?
You want to try my jar?
I like a pickle. I like it when the pickles are in the mason jar, but I won't play pickleball because I don't know what it is. I'm dead. I don't think Jackie Mason got to learn about pickleball.
Probably not. I think you would have liked it, though.
Woo. Steve, I still want to play pickleball.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a... Because like Homer said earlier, it's like the tennis without running.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you do have to do some exercise, of course. But, you know, games are fun, Steve.
I like games.
Steve, I think you have a big enough backyard. We can just put a pickleball court in.
Sure, we can do that.
And then charge, like, your neighbors, like, $20 to use the court.
Mm-hmm. We'll say that it's an hour. It's like Eagles pickleball. I'm just branded with Philly stuff.
Oh, yeah, because you're right next door to a Philly. Oh, yeah. You should, like... Because isn't the owner of the Eagles bar that's next to you also own your house?
No, we have the same landlord, though.
Oh, you have the same landlord. Okay. I'm thinking we should have, like, our own food cart in your backyard.
That's an idea.
I know there's, like, literally food carts across the street.
Yeah, but...
But you and I just open our own little food cart that just... Only on Sundays we come over and make... We just make, like... We'll just...
Yes, eggs?
Yes. But Philly way, you know, with the cheese whiz.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea. We'll have, like, traditional Philly cheesesteak, but then we'll have, like, the other fun ones, too.
Mm-hmm.
But only open on Sundays.
Right. And only during the football season.
And then just charge, like, $15.
Mm-hmm.
A sandwich. We don't serve fries or anything. We'll have, like, you know, little Lay's potato chips or whatever, like a little bag.
Yeah, I like that.
This is genius, Steve.
Make a lot of money.
Make a little extra side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the Eagles play at the Lincoln Financial Field, right? We'll do some research. We'll find out, like what's what their stadium food is like. And there's, mm-hmm. like, some copycats of that, maybe.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. People are really bored by this conversation right now. I think she might be the Simpsons.
All righty.
Yep. Well, Thayer tells Homer that he enjoys hanging out with someone so straightforward, since his business is full of frauds and phonies. And Homer states that he hates phonies. He does. We know that Homer hates phonies.
Or at least... Holden Caulfield.
Yeah. Or at least he pretends... too, because, you know, he thinks it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So Homer's just proving he's a phony there, right? Well, Homer wonders why Thayer has any interest in him. Is he just hanging out to try to sell Homer a car that he can't afford? And as an audience member, that's exactly what we're thinking is going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Thayer assures Homer that the cars sell themselves and that he's just looking for a friend. Mm-hmm. Homer is very unsure now, but he eventually believes Thayer, right? So he then asks to drive the Lamborghini. And Thayer asks if Homer is ready for the ride of his life. I'm just hoping Homer finishes that ice cream before he gets in that car.
Oh, yeah.
Homer states that he was born ready, then he lost interest for a long time, but it's ready now. I think that's like us. Like, we were born ready, but then lost interest in being ready.
Yeah, and now I'm about ready for something. I don't know.
Nuclear fallout?
I mean, yeah, why not? We as a people have had a run.
It's time for the cockroaches to rule the world.
That's right. Joe's Apartment was a great movie. Homer approaches the driver's side of the sports car, but is hit in the face by the scissor door. I remember the first time that I, like, interacted with a Tesla. I was helping a lady with her groceries, and she's like, oh, just put it in the back seat, and I could not figure out how to open the door because their handles are all weird. So that's what that reminded me of.
I've never had the experience to open a Gullwing door.
Yeah.
It's on my bucket list. It's, you know... Visit the Grand Canyon and open a Gullwing door.
Well, if you get the car with the Gullwing door, you can kill two birds with one stone.
You know, honestly, I don't really care to see the Grand Canyon. It's not even on my bucket list.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, my real bucket list is to get that damn hot dog tree to grow and then open a Gullwing door.
My bucket list is two wings, two thighs. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, my bucket list would be, all extra crispy.
Mm-hmm.
Drums. Just drums.
I was going to say, why doesn't KFC do that, like, as a promotion? But then I guess you don't associate your restaurant with dying.
Which KFC is definitely the place to get a heart attack.
Yeah. So, Homer tries to fit in the driver's seat, but he finds that his ass is just too big. Luckily for him, each Lamborghini comes with a tub of fatso grease. So Thayer then applies the oil to Homer's grand butt, and everything fits in nicely.
That was very, like, erotic.
It was, yeah.
Thayer's got, like, a seductive look on his face, like, just staring at Homer's gigantic ass. Yeah, that's going to be on the Instagram this week, so you can all stare at it.
For sure. As they speed down the road, Thayer tells Homer that he's a changed man.
Wow. Wow.
Well, don't look now, Homer, but you just became a Lambo man.
Come on, a loser like me, never.
Hey now, would I give a loser a bottle of genuine Lamborghini wine? I would not.
Wine from a car? Whoa!
Don't you be getting no fancy ideas, Homer. You want to suckle booze? You come to Mama Mo.
The car can sense that you're having an unpleasant thought.
Oh no, not fresh air!
Why are you being so nice to me?
Why, I like you, Homer. You live next door and we love our house. It just needs a few tweaks. Tweaks, 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 tweaks. And, I really want us to be friends.
Well, I wanna believe you.
I understand, you're not sure. But there is another guy who does want to be my buddy.
Another offer? Is it serious?
Oh, yeah. He's been circling for a while. I said I'd get back to him by 5.
Okay, okay. Friends it is. I'll sign anything.
You just became my Lambro.
I don't get it.
Uh-oh, do we learn that Homer might have bought a Lamborghini?
Ooh, maybe.
Yeah, listening to the clip, who's doing the voice up there?
That's Hank.
Williams Jr.?
Azaria.
Oh, okay.
Senior.
Ooh, he did. I was just thinking, like, I think Albert Brooks would have been, I'm sorry, A. Brooks would have been great voice for Thayer.
Oh, yeah, that would have been fun.
I mean, it's still great as it is, but, like, I could just be a good A. Brooks character. Simpsons fans, we're a little nervous here about Homer. Like, what's he signing away for? I obviously think it's the car.
Yeah, what's Thayer's angle? You gotta wonder.
Yeah. Well, Homer arrives back home and tells Marge that she can keep her Lennies and her Carls, those little men with puny cars, to match. So Homer has a new friend. Marge is socializing as well, as she and Ann are lunching the following day, and Marge giggles as she uses lunch as a verb now. Marge is very delightful in this episode.
Yeah, I like that
thing in this. Yeah.
I like when Marge has a friend.
Yes.
Like, so lonely.
And she's like on the, almost the border. Like, I can't wait for like season 37 when she uses the term adulting, which we will have definitely. It's not even our colloquialism anymore.
Yeah.
But like, she'll like, I'm adulting. And you're like, oh, Marge, we don't say that anymore.
Oh, Marge, you're so sweet. So Homer speeds down the road with Marge and their new neighbors, Thayer and Ann. As they roar past a cop car, Lou asks Chief Wiggum if they should pull them over, but Clancy isn't sure how, since in his how he's going to do that in his Dodge Charger with 260,000 miles on it and the catalytic converter bits being stolen as they speak. I guess they're in Portland, Oregon.
Oh.
I don't need my catalytics converted, thank you very much. I like them just the way they are.
Steve's taking a whole stance here on transmissions.
Yeah, I think that you should be the catalytic. Oh, wait, no.
we got a whole different set of listeners now, Steve.
Oh, no.
The ones we don't want.
They want us to do the Harry Potter episode again? Anyway, the new friendships bloom, and as Marge and Anne hold hands while riding horseback, Homer and Thayer also hold hands, each driving a Lamborghini. I like that they're driving in the opposite directions, too, which is fun.
Yeah, that's very good. A lot of really good animation on this episode. Like,
yeah. Everywhere. It goes on, and Homer cannonballs into a hot tub that Marge and the Blackbirds are sitting in, and then the foursome enjoy some putt-putt golf, where Homer chokes on a ricocheting golf ball. Luckily, though, Thayer's there to give him the Heimlich maneuver, which results in a hole-in-one.
Well, does it, Steve? He just, like, it goes through the little castle. We don't actually see it go into the hole.
Fair enough. That's true. And I guess it wouldn't be a hole-in-one, because probably take a stroke on that.
You said fair enough. Like, not green enough. But also, is that's the windmill putt-putt where Marge and Homer banged. I mean, yeah. Art, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Homer got his balls in there yet again. So that scene with them, like, the fine dying, too, like, everyone's, like, dressed up pretty well. It almost seems like Thayer and Anne kind of want to, you know,
soft swap,
maybe. Like, it'll be Anne and Marge kind of, like, making it out, and then Thayer and Homer just kind of, like, sitting there jerking off. But then maybe, like, then they'll jerk each other off. Like you remember your middle school graduation, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, well, let's not talk about that. Let's just continue.
Okay, so...
Father Christopher.
Anywho.
The school we went to is great.
I've never met somebody so fond of the rectory. So the two couples then toast their kinships at dinner at the top floor of a fancy high-rise building. And then the following morning, Marge and Homer are in for a rude awakening.
To the truest kind of friendship there is. Couples friendship.
Couples friendship!
Why aren't we friends like that? Is it because you're a doctor and I'm out of work?
No, it's because we're not even dining together. You just slid your table closer to us.
All right, I'll go, but can I have your bread?
Kirk, please.
Shut up, grab the butter.
Marge, can I take this side of the bed? I want to be closer to our new neighbors.
I understand. They're doing a reno! Did you know they're doing a reno?
Well, he did mention something, and I might have signed something, but it's not a complete teardown.
Okay.
He's leaving up one closet for tax purposes.
Hey!
Hey, you want to keep it down, lady? We're trying to work here.
That scene in the beginning of the clip with the Van Houtens and the Hibberts.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very good, like, very good punchline set of gag. But yeah, you're thinking, like, why would the Van Houtens be hanging out with the Hibberts? But they're like, everyone in Springfield hangs out with each other.
I also like the fact that they took the trouble of, like, making, like, scratch marks off the floor.
Yeah.
Where they put the table.
It's probably, like, a very heavy table. Obviously, it's a very heavy table.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's, like, a Curb or a Seinfeld episode, but, like, it's happened in real life where, like, you're out dining, you see friends that you know, and it's like, oh, should we, like, you know, merge tables, but you just, like, you don't want to, but you feel like you're supposed to.
Right. Like, you just want to, like, hey, how's it going? And give a little wave.
Yeah.
And call it good. But they want, like, come on over. I'm like, okay.
Like, is that a Seinfeld or a Curb episode?
It feels like a Curb, but I can't pull the exact episode, but that definitely feels like a Curb type episode.
Like, it would be, you know, Larry with Cheryl and then Susie and Jeff show up, maybe.
Yeah.
But see, I think then, like, Larry would say, yeah, Jeff, come over. But if it'd be, like, Cheryl and, like, another couple that, or the guest couple of that week, because it's, like, her friends. That seems more like.
Right, or maybe Richard Lewis and his girlfriend at the time.
Right, because Richard always had, like, a different girlfriend every season. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time to rewatch Curb, Steve?
I mean, season 2 was probably out in a couple years, so. Yeah, or season 10, whatever it is.
The Curb started in, like, 2000, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And I think they're literally on season 11 or 12.
Yeah, if you, like, watch the first season of Curb, it's, you know, they're still using landline phones, cords. He has a cell phone, but it's like a flip phone.
Right.
We should really talk about The Simpsons instead of Curb, Steve.
I'm sorry.
Well, Homer and Marge then meet with the contractor whose first language is Spanish, and so he, you know, speaks Spanish, and it says the contract he signed said we should start at 5. So Homer doesn't want to hear technical construction talk and wants to know how long the renovation will take. And the contract responds, you know, in Spanish, that it's hard to say. There are many variables. And Marge angrily says, how many variables in Spanish? But the contractor runs away afraid that Marge speaks Spanish. I think, like, as someone who doesn't speak Spanish or any other language except for English and not very good, like, I love that idea of just, like, speaking fluent language to, you know, other people that wouldn't expect it. Mm-hmm. You see that, like, on, like, TikToks and stuff like that, like, the redneck looking guy who speaks like perfect Korean or whatever.
Right. To,
like,
yeah.
Three people.
I've been doing Duolingo for, today was my 150th day. And I'm teaching myself Spanish very slowly, but I was proud of myself that I understood most of what the contractor was saying. So
yeah,
one day somebody will speak rudely to me in a Spanish speaking restaurant and I'll be able to know how I was insulted. So it'll feel good. So, Marge realizes that Thayer wasn't trying to sell Homer a new car. He was just tricking him into allowing the renovations. Homer says, what? No. What? No. In disbelief that a car salesman would lie to him. Marge comments that you don't need to hit her with a ton of bricks, just as a ton of bricks fall from the sky, barely avoiding her, leaving a brick-shaped hole in her iconic beehive. And then back at Springfield Elementary, Bart is using alternative methods to get to class.
Don't make fun of me, Lise. I'm so afraid of Nelson, I'm going to use the kindergarten entrance. Oh man, I miss kindergarten, when all the days were half and all the milk was chocolate.
Give me your lunch money!
Why do you need lunch money? You guys go home for lunch!
We can do this the easy way, or we can do it the easy way. That's it. We're kindergartners.
We can use the regular entrance. I don't think Mr. Nelson Muntz will be bothering you anymore. I have him right where I want him. I learned all about cyberbullying on idiotsayswhat.org.
What?
I have every embarrassing video of him on file.
Nelson, you've been eating my cherry lipstick again.
Oh, I swear, it wasn't me.
Well, that counts as breakfast.
I ain't afraid of you or your bodyguard.
Really? I've also got footage of what you did to that wounded hummingbird.
No!
The kindergartners, very funny. Do you remember kindergarten? Like, there was always the AM and then the PM class, right?
Yes, I do.
Were you a AM or a PM kindergartner kid?
I was always AM.
Yeah, same here. So, yeah, we got to have lunch at home. It was great.
Yeah. I don't know if my parents had a set. I think they wanted to prepare me for school proper.
Yeah.
Is why we did AM. But also, I wanted to get home to watch Scrabble, a game show hosted by Chuck Woolery. It was on at 11:30. I just made it just in time.
And you were like 6 or 5 when you go to kindergarten?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Chuck Woolery, is that what you said?
Chuck Woolery. Okay. Like, different horrible person.
Chuck Woolery, creator of Big Bang Theory and composer of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme song, right?
Yeah.
AM kid as well. When we see the video of Nelson eating the chapstick, I kind of remember my mom had like this chapstick that I would eat. That was probably like a kindergartner.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, like a tasty mint one.
I could see the allure of that. I mean, but especially if you're familiar with like wax lips, like it's basically the same thing.
Hey, sometimes, you know, chapstick, you just got to eat it.
Yeah.
Well, so then Lisa shows a video of Nelson carrying a hummingbird with a wounded wing, and he feeds the bird sugar water. He says, you know, I may not have a daddy, but now you have a daddy, which he'll say to Martin in about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
He continues to care for the bird, giving sugar water, tuck it into a little matchbox marked Hummy, which is also what he'll call Martin in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then encouraging it to fly. The video continues to show Nielsen tearfully burying the bird, surprised that he only lasted 2 days. The kids all laugh at Nielsen, and he admits defeat. He asks Bart how he can serve his new master. And Bart asks for his vest, but then Nelson obeys. And so he takes off his vest and gives it to him. But then if you look at Nelson, he discovers that his shirt's just been drawn and painted on this whole time.
So sad.
Yeah. But very funny. So I think if you're doing a Nelson cosplay for Halloween, you gotta paint the shirt on.
Right. And then just put a vest on.
It's canon, folks.
That's right. So at the Lamborghini dealership, Homer confronts Thayer, saying that a few tweaks turn into a complete do-over. Thayer excuses himself from the customer about to spend $200,000, but Thayer claims that foregoing the commission to speak with Homer is totally worth it. He gives the sale the good old Gil, who is happy to finally close the sale. All he needs is a pen. He nervously pats himself, looking up and down for a writing implement, saying that he used to have a pen, but his wife got it in the divorce. The potential buyer says that no pen, no sale, and walks away. Gil is immensely disappointed, as he would have been able to pay rent on his shoes.
Wait a minute, so wasn't it like last season, Gil and Mrs. Hoover, didn't they get married?
It is, and we were wondering if they're still together recently, and I think this proves that they are not. And that Miss Hoover got a pen out of the deal.
Or could it be his first wife? Wasn't he married before?
Yeah, I think so.
No, we'll just say it's canon. Miss Hoover and Gil are no longer together. Aw, poor them.
I know. Homer then asks for a timeline from Thayer. And later, Mart and Homer enjoy a sexy evening drive.
Just tell me how long your renovation is really going to take.
Well, quite simply, it depends on how long it takes the bathroom tile to arrive from Singapore.
What the... I thought we were friends. We drove fast together.
You know what? You're right, Homer. We'll reduce the noise. We'll start later. And while we're working on the house, why don't you use one of our Lambos? Long as you want.
Oh, my fob.
So, are we good?
We are, but my wife might take a little convincing.
Just take her and the family for a ride.
But there isn't enough room for the kids.
Exactly.
Oh. Don't get it. Shall I turn on your seat warmer?
Seat warmer? What's that? Ooh. Well, I guess that renovation has to end sometime.
Ooh, Marge's nether regions are being a little warmed up there.
I know. Like, listen to the sound clip. I didn't see Homer pour the wine, so I just heard the squishiness. I was like, wow, Marge.
Also, I mean, Homer, you shouldn't be drinking and driving. Unless does the Lambo have self-driving like a Tesla? I don't think it does.
I don't think so.
Well, this is a fictional car, but it's also supposed to be a Lamborghini. But
right.
You know, it's a cartoon, but when Marge's hair comes down, Steve, what's with her hair this episode, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
It gets chopped off and it grows back. There's a priest going through it.
Yeah, I mean, she's got the regular Samson with her hair so powerful.
I was hoping that in that scene, it was, you know, from a couple minutes ago, that when the saw blade, like, chopped off her hair, that, like, secretly hoping that, like, that there was, like, bunny ears bleeding when the hair got chopped off. And I forgot to mention that when they walked right over to the house, you know, mm-hmm. her hair's back. So Marge's hair is very powerful in this episode.
True. So Homer pours Marge some of that car wine, lowers the hood, and the couple share a passionate kiss. But unfortunately, they're at makeout point. They're surrounded by other teens hanging around them who are all disgusted by them kissing. Jimbo tells Shauna that it's even worse than they think. They're married to each other. Horrified, Shauna replies that if she ever kisses her husband, somebody should shoot her.
Just great, like, kid-teen mentality, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So back at Springfield Elementary, Bart and Lisa confidently walk about to Nelson and his locker. Bart asks Nelson if he has the juice box he ordered, but Nelson presents a box of sugary Coast orange juice. Bart requests that Nelson insert the straw for him, and of course Nelson obliges, but then says, you know what to do. And then he opens his mouth, ready for the sweet stuff to go down his throat. The juice, Steve, not mother.
Oh.
Instead, Nelson blasts all over Bart's face with a triumphant ha-ha. Lisa consoles her laptop, but it's frozen, thereby making Nelson out of her control. Lisa wants to know what has happened.
What did you do?
I found my own nerd.
Hubert Wong, I thought we were buddies.
You made a compelling case when he put my face in a toilet.
I'm gonna beat you like a Hopi spirit drum.
Good reference, Lisa. If it were the celebration of the Nasamuya moon, which it definitely is not.
Ooh,
We've met Hubert before. Wasn't there, like, an episode where there was, like, future Hubert and Lisa, like, maybe, like, were dating at one point?
Yeah. They maybe even got married at some point.
Right. So who's doing the Hubert voice? I'm not familiar.
So that's Rosalie Chiang. She is best known. She's an actor, model, and writer, best known for her voice of Madeline Lee in the 2022 Pixar animated film Turning Red, which I assume is about a girl getting her period for the first time.
Yeah, I think that's what that movie's about.
Yeah.
She turns to, like, a red panda, right?
Yeah.
But it's about, like, girls' bodies changing.
I think so, yeah.
Was Turning Red during the pandemic movies of, like, releasing on? Or is it when, like, the movies were coming back to theaters, but people were still hesitant?
I think it's when people were starting to come back, but I do think it had either a simultaneous release or a short release thereafter, like maybe a month in the box office, and then it was on Disney Plus.
Okay. Let's just get back to this episode, Steve. So Nelson punches one kid and knocks the books out of the hands of another. So fearful children open up the cafeteria door for him. And we're doing a Goodfellas parody here. This all scene took one shot, by the way. Yeah, because we're getting the and then he kissed me. Who sings that song?
Crystals.
The Crystals. Yeah, you know, it's literally the shot by, you know, it's just trying to be like the Goodfellas, right? When Ray Liotta's taking Karen to the club, and considered one of the greatest shots of all time because it's one take.
No, boy.
Scorsese likes he likes it long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the kids open the door, and he gets one wedgie and punches another in the stomach, and a boy wearing a bow tie directs Nelson to a table, and then a lunch tray of full foods there. Nelson slams the kid's face into the food, and Skinner's there and offers Nelson some entertainment, which is groundskeeper Willie trying to catch a greased up Martin Prince. This is very funny. On this podcast, we have a theory that Nelson and Martin will become lovers in the future, and this is just fodder for him. Was this the Simpsons writers, like, give this to the annoyed grand boys, give this the scene?
I assume so.
Okay. So Nelson's watching a greased up Martin, probably, you know, erect, as the Scotsman tries to catch him, and like, just pulling his, like, just the grease coming down, you see his underwear there. Like, this is another, like, well done animated scene.
It is.
Because it looks like it's, like, I don't know, it just looks like it's livestock and, like, a guy trying to hog tie a pig.
Right. Although, I do have to say that if your elementary school is having this having the groundskeeper chase boys covered in grease. Either, you know, maybe think about changing schools or
again,
maybe don't.
Steve, let's just remember our middle school.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This happened with Father Groundskeeper and you. Oh, you've probably repressed that memory. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, that's why I drink. But let's go over to Evergreen Terrace, where Homer's backyard hammock nap is interrupted by the blast of wind from the Blackburn's new HVAC unit. So Homer and Marge look at the renovated house and realize that it blocks out all of their light. As they delve into darkness, Homer uses the flashlight on his phone to examine Thayer's business card. He then decides to give Thayer a call.
I'll handle this.
Hello, you've reached Thayer.
Listen, you charming!
We're doing some minor touch-ups on Casa de Blackburn, so we're getting away from the dust and the nightmare of it all.
In Bora Bora! See you in 6 weeks!
Bora?
Bora!
What do we do now?
What neighbors have done during construction since the time of the pharaohs. Sit and mutter.
I'm just going to mutter here. I'll mutter with you.
Charming son of
muttering,
a
eh? Can I join you? I brought my muttering chair.
No.
Oh, stupid, ungrateful.
You know, it's like Homer and Marge have like more updated lawn furniture, but then Grandpa's got that old like 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
Woven patio chair. That I think
I can
remember that one.
Yeah, I can feel my like bare legs sitting on that on a hot summer day.
Like your legs like touching the metal poles, like
yeah, and then it sticks to the vinyl and then you like pull it out.
Back when comfort and safety weren't an issue.
That's right. The good old days.
Yeah. Make America unsafe again, guys. Well, see, should we get to our final act?
Please, let's.
All right. It begins with Bart and Nelson facing off, each with their respective nerd next to them. Lisa calls out Hubert Wong, and Mr. Wong responds saying, it's nerdo ye nerdo. And Lisa corrects him saying, it's nerdo a nerdo. And Hubert says that only a nerdo would know that. But once again, Lisa corrects him saying that it's a nerda, obeying the genders of the Spanish language.
Uh-huh.
Is that true, Steve, since you now know Spanish?
It is, although, nerdo e nerdo is nerd and nerd, and nerdo a nerdo is nerd by nerd. So they're both kind of wrong because it'd be nerd versus nerd, which is something different, but it's all good.
I want to see how good you are at Spanish. Someone said this to me, and I'm trying to remember what it was, but can you translate this for me?
Cómeme el culo en la biblioteca.
Something about where is the library?
Eat my ass in the library.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's all right. Come, yeah, come is eat. Yeah.
All right.
That's what's funny is like come is eat and come is come. So come come in la biblioteca.
Come 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 come.
Yeah, that's like the way dirtier.
All right.
it's eat come eat come eat come eat come.
Steve, are we going to in a year from now? You'll do I'll speak English and you just speak Spanish. That will get more listeners.
There we go. Yeah, broaden horizons.
Right. I'll learn. Something useful, like, I don't know, Latin.
There you go.
So anyway, so Lisa and Hubert, they're sitting on one of those, like, jungle gym bar things, right? I don't even think they have those anymore at playgrounds, but they did when we were kids. And they're furiously typing on their laptops. But I also think, like, it's really weird that Hubert is, like, upside down typing. Like, he's got like strength to hold that up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Lisa stops, and Hubert asks why she stopped typing. She explains that this extracurricular activity will look bad on college applications. So Hubert offers a dente, or an easing of hostility. But Lisa was thinking of an entente, or a truce. But Hubert worries that Lisa's moving a little fast.
A little bit of foreshadowing into their future relationship.
Yeah.
Bart and Nelson watch the two eggheads, and Nelson asks what the nerds have ever contributed to society. He then asks Siri to name one thing that the nerds have done. The personal digital assistant replies that they've created me to answer everyone's question. It's a living hell. Bart offers Nelson an entente of his own.
You know, I can't even remember what they're fighting over. Want to go on the teeter-totter?
Why not?
Seesaw, Marjorie Daw, Jack shall have a new master. He shall make but a penny a day, cause he can't move any faster.
Ah, the old seesaw chant. When they're finished, do you want to join me for an up and down?
Get away from me.
All right, Steve, when we're done the podcast, do you want to join me for an up and down?
Oh, yes, please do.
Get away from me.
No.
Is this like an old, like, Chan Kids did in like the 50s?
Yeah, I think it's got to be pretty old because I've never heard it.
It's pretty funny though. I like how this so the B story is over now. And like, yeah, it just wraps up like, and the kids are back to normal.
Yeah, just reset.
Yeah. Well, Homer and Marge watch bitterly as the construction loudly continues next door. Marge sips her wine, grunting in time with the machinery. She wonders if there's anything they can do, like stopping them or selling their own house. Homer joins in, saying that they could never burn down the Blackburns' home, saying that it was, you know, just putting it out there. And Marge says that she could never do that. And of course, Homer agrees, sneakily turning off like a blowtorch next to him. He does add that the fires are easy to blame on Grandpa before hiding some kerosene and some matches in a nearby bush. And once again, just putting it out there. And Marge replies that Homer has put everything out there but the trash. So Homer suggests that Marge put out the trash, again saying that he's just, you know, putting it out there.
But then Lisa and Hubert arrive with an answer. Bart is shocked to learn that the two nerds are friends, but Hubert has learned all there is to learn about Lisa. This made him realize that if he doesn't help her and her family, Lisa's going to go off the rails in a really bad way. And Lisa had a discovery of her own that Hubert is desperate for approval so that she can control him with pumpkin stickers. Mm-hmm. So she puts one on his head, and Hubert feels like he matters. Hubert then shares his findings.
Anyway, when I was doxing your daughter, I learned a very interesting thing about this street. Your home sits on the site where Jebediah Springfield founded this town.
We better stop here, because the horses are dead. Springfield? We'll call it Field Spring.
So, this street is a historical landmark. All their renovations are not permitted.
Parenthetically, Homer, you can never fix your house again.
Win-win!
I like Springfield, Jebediah Springfield. I like that we should stop because the horses are dead. It's very funny to me. But also the fact that he looks around, sees the field and the springs, and we'll call it Field Spring, despite the fact that his real name is Jebediah Springfield, or Sprungfield if you're right. Probably being nasty.
That's very good. I never thought of the whole, his last name is Springfield. So while Homer drives his loaner sports car to the Lamborghini dealership, after being hit in the face several times by the door, Homer marches in and takes over the PA system. And again, call back to Homer not opening those gold wing doors.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying on the PA system that he's there to return his car. And Thayer states that he thought he and Homer were friends, but Homer has learned that his only true friends are the Tragic Souls and Moe's. He then tells Thayer to go fob himself, tossing the key fob to the attractive car dealer as the fob parachutes before it hits Thayer. And he says he thought Homer was a Lambo man, but newsflash, he was wrong.
Homer's learned that there's no such thing as a Lambo man, just rich jerks with stupid cars. The prospective customers in the dealership take Homer's words to heart. One man comments that the car doesn't make his junk look any bigger, while another vows to date people his own age.
Doesn't like one of the guys look like Ed O'Neill with glasses?
Yeah, let's take a look here.
Let's say about like 19 minutes and 43 or 44 seconds that he looks like Ed O'Neill wearing some glasses.
Yep, I see him. There he is. It does, yeah. Well, it's funny because on Modern Family, he doesn't date somebody his own age.
Right.
So everyone walks out of the dealership, and as Homer enters the passenger side of his old station wagon, he tells Marge, who's driving, that when you have love, you don't need a fancy car. They then drive off into the sunset, but the station wagon sputters, needing a push.
Mm. Well, Steve, I turned off the episode here because I saw yellow credits.
Sure.
And I said, all right, well, I guess there's no after credits because it's yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw you started typing more.
Uh-huh.
I saw more text on the notes. I'm like, wait, there was after credits? I thought it was when it was white, it was after credits. So I didn't even see the scene. So apparently there is extended scene for me. I didn't know about until right now. So the credits begin to roll. We see a brief scene of the early days of Field Spring, or, you know, Springfield, where the pioneers are building a new city. Jebediah Springfield tells his young son that one day this will all be his. And then he holds up the baby, who oddly looks like a Burns, or Cliff, much like Rafiki holding up Simba in Lion King. And so he's holding them up over the townsfolk. And we even see the dead horses there. Is it established that Burns is like an heir of Jebediah?
I mean, maybe. I don't think it's been established yet, but I think we just figured that out.
Okay. Well, the camera pans out to reveal the future where people are touring the historical landmark of 742 Evergreen Terrace, which has been many things over the years, such as
an outhouse,
a speakeasy,
six witches were burned there in the front yard in the 1940s.
Then it became a radical cult.
And it was a Reagan campaign headquarters, which was swallowed by a sinkhole and then spat back out.
And then it finally displays the home of the Simpsons. The tour continues and displays Maggie's pacifier, the room where President Lisa Simpson grew up, Homer's spacesuit from Deep Space Homer, the bad Halloween candy lady that we saw in the beginning of this episode, and then a death mask of Grandpa Simpson, which asks, what are you looking at? And that's it.
Yep, that's our episode, which is lovingly dedicated to Suzanne Summers, who recently passed, never truly mastering her thighs.
R.I.P. Suzanne Summers.
That's right. Will be missed, and she was, you know, on an episode of The Simpsons. But that's all we have for this episode, so why don't we take a break, think about what we just saw, and we'll be right back. And we're back. Craig, let's finish up our discussion of McMansion and Wife. We'll talk about the things that we liked, the things we didn't like, the things that made us laugh, and our MVJ, Most Valuable Jokester, and what we thought of the episode, and what we're watching next week. But before we do all that, I think gifts are in order. When you have somebody new over the neighborhood, you wanna welcome them with a nice welcome basket. So, Craig, for you, I got a basket that I usually use for when people move out of the neighborhood because they're disgusted with me, but it's full of, chips, some cheese, a nice bottle of wine, a sports blooper videotape, and we'll say some marijuana. Why not?
Wow. Thanks. It's great. I mean, yeah, I think most people appreciate this gift. It's great. Here's a key fob. I got you a fucking Lamborghini.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I thought we were probably going to, since this whole thing had like a Lamborghini parody, I figured we'd both each get each other selves a Lamborghini. What was going to happen, but you give me a basket. I'm not ungrateful. I mean, thank you for, wrapping this ribbon. Oh, did you get this ribbon at Party City? Great. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, I just got a whole box.
Oh, look, yeah. A can of mixed nuts. Oh, cool. I was opening it up. It's a can of pink snake. Come on. I give you a friggin' Lamborghini.
I mean, thanks for the car. I mean, I usually prefer to drive American, but I'll drive it around the block.
There's even some Lamborghini wine in the glove box. All right, that's fine.
I'll drink that for sure. Okay, Craig. Well, with that disappointment out of the way,
that's what your wife says after sex. Oh, can I get a snare?
But a bump, thanks. So, Craig, what made you laugh in this episode? What'd you like?
I love that we had a solid A and B story that really didn't intertwine with each other, which is great. You had the kids' adventure and you had the adults' adventure. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Marge, I love Marge's scene with talking to Anne about the massages and like Marge assumes that she has to give a massage, but no, actually getting a massage, I thought that was great. The whole like Marge in this episode, her hair going through many stages in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's like this constant, like, I think we kind of brought this up, of like Marge, and it's been kind of like established that Marge, loves her wine. Because there's that whole like scene too, like where they're watching the mansion and Homer isn't drinking anything, but Marge is sitting in the lawn chairs, just watching the house being built while drinking wine. Marge is very sassy, lately. I'm enjoying Marge. I think Marge is the modern mom.
Mm-hmm.
Long gone is that Marge of like the first couple seasons of like, kids can't watch cartoons that have violence or, I don't eat ass because I'm a boomer. But now, Marge definitely eats ass. She's a millennial now. So Marge, you get my modern woman award.
Hear, hear.
And it's great for a white cis male to give awards to women.
Yeah, you're a hero.
I'm an ally to the middle-aged white mother, which I think it was the name of a Parliament album, Middle-Aged White Mother.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. The song that Bootsy sings on is really good. Funk Your Ass or whatever it is.
It's the only Parliament album that George Clinton's not on, but Bill Clinton takes over.
Yeah, that's a 9-minute sax solo.
And, for various reasons, I also love, as someone who is a fan of the bird varieties, especially the hummingbirds. I love Nelson taking care of that little hummingbird named Hummy. I thought that was a very adorable. And nice, like, kind of callback to that episode where Bart shoots a bird at his house. And, like, maybe Nelson learned from that. So it's one of my favorite scenes. Homer kind of being dumb, not a jerk ass in this is great. Van Houten's with the Hibberts. Of course, Lenny getting hit by Homer in his dreams. Right at the beginning of the episode. Let's give it to... I'm going back. Marge. I think this is... Marge. She gets my MVJ.
Alrighty.
Just because I love that whole massage scene. It was very funny, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Steve?
I think I'm going to have to give it to Jebediah Springfield. Just for, like, the two jokes at the very end with the dead horses. The imagery of the dead horses is very funny to me. And also the... we'll call it Field Spring. That made me laugh. But I do agree that Marge was a lot of fun. And I really liked Nelson. That whole plot line was a good deal of fun. I like him being the paternal figure for the hummingbird. And just the sadness of him having to paint on his own t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that one storyline was a lot stronger than the other for myself. But I think all in all, it was a pretty solid-ish episode.
Yeah.
But what did you think of the episode all in all, Greg?
Yeah, I feel like this is definitely... an episode that's not, there's not a gimmick going on. It's a straight up, like I said, there's an A story and the B story, and the A story and B story really don't have anything to do with each other. And that's fun to watch. You get the kids, you get the adults. I love it. There's a lot of like twists and turns, even though it's called McMansion and Wife, but the idea of like the salesman, you think he's trying to sell a car, but he's not. I like that twist. And I also like to think that like Dan Weber was like tasked to write this because Al Jean was just like, you know, I was going to buy a Lamborghini the other day. And I'm talking to a salesman. He's like my neighbor. Write a story about that. Because, you know, this kind of like as a writer, you're supposed to write what you know. It's like, is Dan Weber going around buying Lamborghinis? Probably not. So it's probably like an old like Matt Groening or like, you know, relate to the common man by trying to get a Lamborghini, you know?
Yeah.
Lisa in the story, like stooping down to Nelson's level to like, I will show you like blackmail. Like Lisa doesn't see the type that would use blackmail. And she is.
Yeah.
A little concerned about that character for Lisa to like expose Nelson. But I think this is an episode, much like we were talking about the season 20 episode, The Birds and Bees, like very much like in Mad Libs. This is kind of that same vein, but I feel like it's executed a lot better. I had a lot of fun with this episode. I mean, maybe it's because we have new goggles when we watch the new episodes, but I think like the visuals, the voice acting, the animation with Martin running through greased up and Willie trying to capture him, really well done animation. I really enjoyed it. I think this is a standard good average episode. That's a compliment, not a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I will definitely watch this again. So if I give it a number ranking here on MotorTrend.com, I just typed in like how much is a Lamborghini.
Mm-hmm.
Lamborghini Urus, I guess, comes in at about $200,000 is the cheapest, and then we go to the Lamborghini Aventador SVG Roadster, which is a little over $500,000, so $577,000. So between a quarter of a million and a half a million, I'll give this episode a Lamborghini Hurricane Evo RWD Spider, which is $233,000.
Okay, it's a great score. I think that this was a very dynamic episode. I did like how the couch gag led into the story. I think that was a lot of fun. I think the B plot was great. Nelson going on a menace, bullying adults. And I like that the professor who had the assembly was like, hey, I'm the last couple schools I tried this, it got worse. But third time's a charm, so maybe this time it'll work. And it didn't. And the idea of Nelson being bullied into not bullying. That plotline was a lot of fun. And it is a little out of character for Lisa to dox Nelson. But I'm also thinking that if Nelson is such a scourge on the schoolyard, that maybe drastic actions were necessary. So I'm going to give that set of story a lot of positivity, a lot of greatness. And I don't want to be a bad news bear, but something about the main plot line felt, it wasn't bad, but it felt a little flat to me. I think that Thayer seemed a little, I mean, I know that he's trying to butter up Homer so he can get the renovations, and that's kind of his whole deal. Butter. But I just felt like he was a little bit of a thin character, a little bit one-dimensional, if you will.
He looked pretty fit to me. He wasn't thin at all.
I just think that I got where they're going. It didn't really resonate with me as much as I wanted it to. But it's not to say that it's a bad episode. It's a very... Actually, when you talked about Marge saying the word adulting in a couple of years, that's kind of what it felt like. It felt like the kids were kidding. I mean, not joking around, but like being kids. And the adults were adulting with their house renovations and their buying of cars. And I don't know, it just seemed like... It seemed a little off to me. I don't know what it is. Like, nothing is actually wrong. It just didn't, like... get me the way I wanted it to. But it is like a really solid, like standard episode. This was actually written for season 34 around like the 20s. So probably towards the end, but not the finale. And I think that's kind of where it fits in. I think it's like, it's a solid episode, but not remarkable. I think it is kind of a Mad Libs episode that is executed well, but nothing to write home about. So I think it's a watch, but it's a soft watch for me. I think just the A-plot just kind of didn't do it for me, but and it could be just because we're spoiled with some of the high concepts and big ideas as of late, like with the Marge as a parent and getting sick, or just like these all these high concept episodes that we've had in newer episodes, that this kind of being a centered episode, there's nothing wrong with it. And I think that if I go back, you know, in a few years and watch it, I might find gems in it that I didn't really appreciate. But for me, it's a soft watch. So if Nelson had nursed that hummingbird back into health, it would have lived for about 5 years, as this is a standard lifespan of a hummingbird is 5 years. So I'm going to give this a 2.5 out of 5.
I mean, I think it's interesting. I think we both feel opposite, because I think I like the A story, even though I know it's like far-fetched and it's not anything that we can relate to because, you know.
Car ownership.
Because I liked the dynamic. But you're right, between Homer and Marge and like the couple. I guess I would have wanted to see more of, I think, Anne and Marge hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And then like them actually like truly making like a real relationship and not one that's like based on lies.
Yeah.
So you're probably right there. I think that's my problem with the B plot was Lisa taking the revenge,
mm-hmm.
you know, giving Nelson his own taste of medicine, which we've seen plenty of times. But yeah, it's probably not a positive message to tell kids. I don't know. Who are we to tell kids what to do?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we're adults. We can tell kids what to do. Kids, drink your whiskey.
Send your parents credit cards to 13simpsons@gmail.com.
and their whiskey.
Yeah, yeah. Email that too.
Yeah, we love emailed whiskey. But yeah, that's good that we both found positives and negatives on the other side. So we're not just agreeing to disagree, right?
Yeah, but we hope that you agree to listen to us next week as we watch another episode. We got another new one, Craig.
Oh, Steve, next week. I'm excited. I think I can predict it. I think I can predict it.
Okay.
I know it's going to be October 29th, a mere 2 days before the spookiest day of the year.
That's right.
Finally going to get our Treehouse of Four. So I'm just going to predict it's season 35, episode 4, Treehouse of Horror 34.
Well, Craig, the title of this next week's episode is Thirst Trap, a Corporate Love Story.
Excuse me?
Thirst Trap, a Corporate Love Story.
No, Steve, it's literally 2 days before Halloween. We got to be doing a Treehouse of Horror episode.
That would make a lot of sense. Yes, I agree, but no.
Are you telling me they didn't schedule Treehouse of Horror 2 days before Halloween?
Why would they do that?
Steve, is there a Treehouse of Horror episode this year, or they just canceled it?
No, there is. It's going to be all the way airing on November 5th, 2023, just in time for Election Day.
They've done this before, haven't they? They've put Treehouse of Horror on after Halloween.
Yeah, they have.
Why?
But it just seems like to make so much sense to have it 2 days before. Like, is this logical?
So I think we got the most Halloween out of this podcast and this year from this episode, because they mentioned the lady across the street that sells or that gives out crappy Halloween candy, and then we see her at the end too. So there's your Halloween for the year, guys.
Yeah.
Look, we failed last week. We should have done a Treehouse of Horror episode, but we didn't.
Right.
So now we're doing something called Thirst Trap, a Corporate Love Story.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the Simpsons are thirst trapping us into Halloween, but we don't get it. So I have to come up with a concept or plot from this. So thirst traps are, as I have been told by you many times, that it's like a person on the internet. Like, do they bait you? Is that how that works? Like, hey, click on this video for more sexy pics, and you click on it, but they make you subscribe to something for like money.
I mean, generally, yes. I think it's the more broad term for thirst trap is just sexy photos that allure you to examining their account. So
I see.
I think that, you know, anybody could offer a thirst trap, and maybe not for dubious reasons. It could be for just like, hey, I'm a comedian who wants to be famous, but also here's my butt.
Oh, but could that be like, as like, hey, we're talking about The Simpsons, but here's my butt.
Yeah, totally. Mm.
All right. So thirst trap, a corporate love story. I'm going to say This is about Artie Zip.
Ooh.
And Artie Zip puts out a thirst trap for Marge. Like, it's a new product that's, like, very much catered to Marge. And so she's, like, very intrigued. And so she's like, I love this. I love who invented this. And then it's Artie Zip. Creates, like, the ultimate, like, product for Marge that
Ooh,
she just can't not resist. So she becomes enamored. And then Artie Zip's like, look, you like this product so much, you're going to be the CEO of it. Like, well, he's still, like, you know, the head, but, like, the, you know, she'll be running the company. And, but only, of course, if she murders Homer, specifically murders Homer. And the B story, Milhouse becomes the most popular kid in school and loses his virginity to Mrs. Hoover.
Wow. Okay. That all sounds like a lot of fun. But here's what I have. In a parody documentary, a young college dropout CEO embraces the Silicon Valley fake it until you make it philosophy and bewitches Mr. Burns into funding her highly dubious dream project.
So 2 days before Halloween, we're getting a parody of a documentary.
Yeah.
I could have been easily just, you know, like in the middle. All right. Well, look, you programmers over at Fox definitely know what to do.
Sure. But yeah, you know what's best for us, Fox. And listeners, we know what's best for you. And that's for you to keep on listening and to reach out to us. You can do that on the socials like Instagram or YouTube at 138Simpsons.
Hey, you can email us at 138Simpsons@gmail.com or drop us a line on the voicemail. Just go to the podcasting app, scroll through the show's notes, and it'll be a little bus that says leave a voicemail. You can do it that way. Very easy.
And while you're there, you can leave us a review and 5 stars, but you don't need to leave a real review. You can just tell us what your dream car is.
And if you want some merch, go to tpublic.com/user/snowygrumpboys for a t-shirt or a beanie. No, they don't have beanies. I wish they did. For a t-shirt or a sweatshirt or a baseball tee or some stickers and magnets.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. For this week, I've been Annoyed Grunt Boy Steve.
And I've been Annoyed Grunt Boy Craig.
And remember, my butt is clean and ready to be seen.
And we should stop because the horses are dead.
Join me for an up and down?
Get away from me.